Okay, good morning. Let's turn to the book of James. And I actually taught on this last week about having consider it all joy when encountering various trials. But I want to read it again and actually add a couple insights. So let's return to James chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 4. Okay. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And if you guys remember, I'll just give you conclusion that I, the application that I had drawn from and shared with you guys. I said that when you have a trial, it's not that it is joy, but consider it as joy. And so when you're in a situation or a circumstance that is pressing, in order to have joy, I said you have to have faith. Without faith, you cannot have joy. But I wanted to complete this thought. And really, the joy that we have is not just joy or not just a hope, right? You know, anyone, believer or non-believer, can be in a difficult situation and have a joy set before them. Does that make sense? Anyone, a non-believer or a believer, if you know they have an exam on Friday and they're suffering on Thursday, can consider it as joy because, you know, come Sunday or Monday, I'm going to be relaxing in Baja, California, or fishing, or, you know. So anyone, believer or non-believer, through a difficult circumstance can look and set for the joy before them to what is to come, even though at the time it's very difficult. But as believers, we're not just hoping or seeking better times. Oh, well, this will pass and I'll have a better time. But actually, in the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of our trial, in fact, we have joy in the person of Christ. So it's not just joy or hope of what is to come, but joy and hope in who is here, who is now, in Jesus Christ. And that is the difference. Consider how a non-believer and a believer would approach the idea of death, right? So if we were to say, you know, consider it joy, right? All joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. For a believer who is encountering is in the situation of has a fatal disease or whatnot, right? These words are very much true. Consider it joy, right? You know what Christ has done for you. Right? Not that it is joy, but think of it as joy. And you know the end result, that in fact Christ died, rose again, and defeated death, defeated sin. Therefore, we have that hope in Christ, right? So for the non-believer, for you to say, hey, consider it all joy, you can't say that, because it's not always joy. And in fact, when in dealing with areas of death, man, it's the end. It's morbid. But for the believer in Christ, in fact, all things we can consider as joy. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. It's just a few pages before James. Right? And so God just doesn't tell us, right, consider it joy, but in fact he shows us. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Speaking of Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Right? So in this situation and circumstance of death and the trial and the suffering that would come, it was the joy set before him that Christ was able to endure. What joy is this? One, complete confidence and faith that the Father would redeem. Right? He'd seen it before, the covenant God made with Abraham. Right? He'd seen Abraham go up to sacrifice his own son Isaac, and then he saw as the triune God, God the Son providing the ram. And so he knew absolutely that God would provide, that he'd seen it. And second, that we would in fact be saved, that we who he was dying for would be saved. And this was a joy set before him. So the implication is then that, as Christians, man, in any situation, in any circumstance, right, no matter what you're going through now or what trials come your way, the implication is that, man, we believe in Christ, we hope in Christ, we should therefore always be bubbly, joyful Christians. Right? I mean, we should, no matter what happens, man, we have this hope. We take this verse, chapter 1, verse 2, and consider all joy. We have this faith, not just in better circumstances or that a season that is, cloudy now will get shiny later, but that we have the hope of Christ Jesus. I mean, he literally is our joy. Our faith is in him. So then that means that we should always be bubbly. We should always be joyful. But we know that that's not the case, right? As Christians, we get into these mood swings. As believers, we get angry quite often. In fact, some of us struggle with that quite a bit. We get anxious. We're dissatisfied. We bicker, right? We argue with our own brothers or sisters, in our family, let alone, in our church. We challenge each other. Dissension. We envy. We covet. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, and I'll just wrap up with this. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 26. And I'll just close by saying, if you don't want to turn there, I'll just read there for you. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I have forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And in verse 26... let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And the word boastful, in other translations, it's used as conceited. We got this word study. Pastor Nate and I was at a conference yesterday. And the word boastful here, in the literal Greek, it's two words put together, conceited. It's kino and doxai. Okay, so kino, which means empty, and doxai, which means glory. So kino doxai, empty glory. Basically, don't be filled with empty glory. Don't be filled with yourself or with pride or with wealth. Don't seek things or be of emptiness. Essentially, what this word is saying is empty glory. What it's saying is you are without Christ. In that situation, in that moment, in that thought of anger of challenging or being conceited or boastful, you've essentially in that moment filled yourself with something other than Christ, Christ's glory, other than the gospel message of Jesus. And so, my charge to us this morning, right, as Christians and circumstances, we know, yeah, we should be joyful in all circumstances, yet in reality, we're constantly facing struggles and we're constantly bickering or at certain situations where we're lashing out. And my charge to you, is not so much, if I have an issue with anger, is not just to deal with the symptoms, right? Putting a Band-Aid on the surface, but surgically getting to the root, which is in those times, really, I'm just not filled with Jesus. Right, I've filled myself with an empty glory of sorts, something for a moment or for a season that I value. And so let's bow our heads. And so this word, being boastful, conceited, basically consisting of an empty glory. Our joy, our completeness, the fruit of the Spirit, love, right? Our peace, our patience, true kindness, true goodness, true faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All these things come embodied in the person of Christ. And apart from Him, we can't really have these things. At least not, for more than a season, perhaps. And when we consider the true tests, the things that battle our flesh. The things that threaten, longevity or life. It's only in Christ, the true glory, that we can claim these things. So just do a heart check this morning. So what's going on? What's really going on when we're, getting angry, or when we're really dissatisfied, or we just have a bitter taste in our mouth, or we're constantly bickering, or we can't see the good in things? And I just say, go back to the gospel message. Go back to Jesus Christ on the cross, who for the joy set before Him was able to endure. Let's just spend some time meditating on that as Pastor Nate leads us in a song.
My soul shelter, and Thou my
There might be some of us, you know, this morning, or yourself, or you know someone, and you know they're saying it. You know, maybe they've read this passage 100 times, but they're saying it in their mind, in their heart. It's impossible. What I'm going through right now, it's impossible for me to have joy. Right? And in and of itself. But in Jesus, He made it possible. What He accomplished, He made it possible for us to have joy if we go to Him. So our first prayer point this morning, you know, let's pray for ourselves, but let's pray for those, man, we just look at and they have, you know, such few glimpses of what joy really is. And you know, we should be thinking of our non-believing friends, our non-believing coworkers. You know, where in the world do they go to get joy, right? What functions, what events, what, you know, locations, what people do they go to get joy? You know, what are they filling themselves with but empty glory? And so let's pray, you know, for the lost. And you know, I just really got this sense, you know, I mean, the enemy is on an extermination campaign. One, to knock off those in the church, to steal their joy. And then two, you know, for the rest of the world to keep it in darkness. And I just get this sense that as believers, man, we have to wake up and stir up our prayers. And I had this dream last night. You know, the details doesn't matter, but there was darkness all around me. And I didn't understand the darkness. I couldn't pinpoint the darkness, but I knew it was there. And you know, just out of you know, my spirit, a reaction, I just broke out into tongues and I just started praying on my knees. And I, you know, and I felt alone, but I was just breaking out. And then and such faith just stirred, and I just started praying and praying and praying against the darkness. And sure enough, then I heard beyond the wall near me another person break out in prayer. And then behind, you know, me, another wall, another person break out in prayer. And so let's stir this prayer. Let's break through and join together, and let's pray for the lost. You know, people who are filling themselves with empty glory, something that cannot fill them. Only Jesus can fill them. So let's pray. Let's pray for our coworkers, you know, for ourselves, for our church members, you know, people in our house church. Let's pray for the true joy that's embodied in Christ to come and be revealed in them and in us. Let's pray. Let's pray for our house church meetings tonight, for Conduit Road House Church, and for Star Street, right? Jean-Marc and Pacific Place and Kennedy. So let's just pray covering over them, that God would just come and fellowship, that that God would, you know, tabernacle with us tonight, that His Shekinah glory, that His tabernacling presence would be there, heavy, dwelling with us, right, in the midst, and then all those that come would know and experience Him tonight, you know, through the Word, through prayer, through fellowship. So let's just pray for our meetings tonight. Let's pray for our church, our building search, our steering committee. Just pray that God would use our church, our fellowship, our body, and really increase in us so that we can impact greatly, you know, those in Hong Kong. And when we say those in Hong Kong, you know, we you know, during our conference, we did a, you know, we got some facts and whatnot, and you know, in Hong Kong we have about what, 7 million people. Of that, you know, a generous estimate of English speakers, it's only about 500,000. So you know, when we say impact Hong Kong, we're not just talking about you know, English speaking people. You know, we're talking about the other 6.5 million people. And so that as a church, that you know, as a leadership, we really, you know, take in the implications of that. You know, even in our building search and commit, you know, or whatnot. So let's just pray for real direction, you know, for God's glory, right? Not for our glory, right? The only glory that lasts. So let's just pray for all the details, you know, all the things, the discussions that go into it. Let's just pray. You know, you need to pray for your leaders, right? You have an ownership and stake in this as well. And let's just invest in our prayers. Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you, Father, this morning. And Lord, we just thank you for the reminder, you know, that if we recognize shortness, unhappiness, you know, envy, challenging others, bickering, then God, we thank you for the reminder, God, that there's something really going deep on in our hearts. And that for a moment or for whatever reason, we've forgotten. Or we're trying to build us up or fill ourselves with empty glory, and then we recognize the deficiencies or whatnot, and therefore then the symptoms come out again. But God, remind us this morning that there is only one glory, Jesus, and that you accomplished it on the cross. And God, we receive you and believe you. And God, we walk out in faith, God, that we are complete. God, that in fact we have joy. And that in fact we have joy to offer. So Jesus, just come and fellowship with us today. Lord, we just want to spend time with you. in our thoughts, in our devotions, and as we go out into the workplace. God, let us meditate on you and be filled with joy eternal. Father, we thank you, God. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day today.